Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Champions League is back, baby! The 2021-2022 tournament on CBS Sports Paramount Plus is back. And this is your full comprehensive Champions League preview with Jimmy Conrad, Jonathan Johnson joining later on. But this is a packed one, baby. I hope you're ready. Que golazo! Champions League preview begins right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Champions. Oh, yeah, I got my vocal cords, Jimmy Conrad, ready to go. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, LME. This is what it's all about. This is my favorite club competition in the world. The Copa Libertadores, it's a close second, but the Champions League is where it's at. This is where legends are made. This is where things potentially, where legends are not made, I guess. I was going to try to look at something a little bit more eloquent. But as I wrote behind me, and we go again. I love the Champions League. Every time it comes around, it's a different type of excitement. And let's go. Let's do this.
Absolutely. Well said, my friend. And as we mentioned, Jonathan Johnson will join in later. By the way, if you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe, follow, click, link, follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your pods. And of course, youtube.com/Que Golazo, where you can see our beautiful faces almost every day. Champions League, 32 teams, so many narratives. So we're going to crack it down and we're going to break it down for you in many fun different storylines here. Obviously, the matchups are key, but Jimmy's also going to give us a lot of betting tips because that's the key. Make that money, baby. Make that money. So let's begin, Jimmy Conrad, with one thing here. Barcelona, Bayern Munich, the biggest match to talk about. it already begins with a joke.
Listen, I mean, Barcelona are a joke. The last time they played Bayern Munich, it was 8-2, if everybody remembers in that shortened version of the Champions
League. I know, but it's a good game. Listen, Barcelona's last Champions League game before Messi appeared for the club in Europe was a 1-0 draw with Celtic in November 2004. And here's Barcelona once again without Lionel Messi. Lewandowski, by the way, who scored 28 goals in 24 Champions League appearances. Talk to me, Jimmy. I know it was 8-2 last time around, but this can be sexy, you know?
Come on, listen. When they lost 8-2, they had Messi on the field. Luis Suarez was on the field. Antoine Griezmann came on at halftime. That didn't help, okay? And they had Philippe Coutinho playing for Bayern. He ended up scoring 2 goals. I mean, what is even happening right now? Now you're going to replace Messi with, let's go with Luke de Jong. Yeah, that's a good shout. Braithwaite's going to be hurt. So Coutinho might actually get his first start of the season. Now, Memphis Depay is red hot. I don't want to take anything away from Memphis Depay. Maybe the MVP of the last international break. 5 goals for the Dutch and tremendous in every single facet. And he has really not slowed down. I thought maybe there'd be some, you know, head going down, don't get to play with Messi, whatever. But he's really picked up his game and really carried Barcelona and his country. So I do think that they could potentially score a goal because, as we know, Bayern Munich have a tendency of kind of falling asleep and whatever. If somebody scores 1, we'll score 4. It doesn't really matter, just like they did against RB Leipzig this past weekend. I just feels very one-sided to me, Luis. I feel like had Robert Lewandowski been healthy in the last Champions League, when they played against PSG over 2 legs, he missed both of those. I think they would have beat PSG. They created so many opportunities. And if they had Lewandowski at the end of those, they probably would have faced Man City in the semifinals. And then we're talking about maybe Bayern playing Chelsea in the final instead of Man City. So there's a real thin line between success and failure for Bayern Munich. And I think it all comes down to Robert Lewandowski. The guy's healthy. Now, from a betting perspective, I want to say this, LME. I have placed this bet 7 times, this exact bet. Lewandowski to score, Bayern to win, both teams to score. It's plus 290 in this game, okay? This bet has hit for me 6 out of 7 times that I've played it. That's crazy return because Bayern has a tendency to give up a goal, but they always find a way to win, and Lewandowski is usually a player that does it. That is by far my most successful bet. Every time I place it, I come back feeling pretty good about things. Now, if you want to kind of level up that experience, you can get into somewhat of exact scores. So if you want Lewandowski to score and Bayern to win either 2-0, 2-1, or 3-1, because you're maybe you're thinking Barcelona won't score, though I think they might. That's plus 450. Or if you got Lewandowski to score 1-0, they have to win 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1, that's plus 500. And that has better value. So there's some action there on Caesars Sportsbook. I think you obviously should take a look at it and obviously look at the starting lineups as well. But when I look at Barcelona's potential starting lineup in this one, their front three doesn't really scare me outside of Memphis Depay. Ansu Fati still hurt as well. He doesn't look like he's going to go. Now their midfield's solid with De Jong, Pedri, and Busquets. But that back four, Sergio Roberto, Jordi Alba's questionable. I just think this Bayern team is going to be next level. The one thing I'll say about Bayern, they had Serge Gnabry go out at halftime against RB Leipzig. So Jamal Musiala came in, and he scored a goal a minute later after he came on, and then he had assists later. That kid is amazing.
He was great.
And I just think that, I mean, Bayern have so much depth, and Barcelona, I don't feel like, can say the same thing. But I don't think it's going to be an 8-2 game, but I do think that Bayern will win this one. So I'm excited about it. Should be a good one.
Yeah, well said there, Jimmy Conrad. Is there something to be said about Julian Nagelsmann and the fact that this is his first Champions League game with his new team, Bayern Munich? Maybe he has to still get accustomed to that in the major tournament. Obviously, we know how good he is, and he understands, obviously, the Champions League. But being with Bayern Munich, a different team, now facing Barcelona, does that have anything, do you think?
I think with regard to Nagelsmann, I think what he needs to do in some capacities, get out of his own way. These guys are absolute machines in this competition. And as I mentioned, if Lewandowski hadn't been hurt, they could have gone back to back. And that means they wouldn't have lost any games in the Champions League for 2 years running or something. So these guys in some capacity can manage themselves. It's just a matter of putting them in good spots to make plays. Where I think they can be vulnerable is in the back line. It looks like Lucas Hernandez is going to play center back next to Upamecano, who hasn't actually been that sharp, Upamecano, since coming over to Bayern. Benjamin Pavard still, I don't think, has really locked down that right side and made it his in a way that maybe Philip Lahm or Joshua Kimmich has done. And then Alphonso Davies, I love him, but he does like to go forward a lot. So you can hit them on the counter and really try to take advantage of his positioning, which, and more often than not, he can get away with it because most teams can't punish them because they can't counter quick enough against this Bayern team, especially when you have Goretzka and Kimmich in the middle of the field who are very good at shutting down plays. So this Bayern team is so solid all the way through. And obviously, if Manuel Neuer is standing on his head, you always have a chance. So really, with regard to Nagelsmann, it's kind of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, there's not much to change here. Just put people in good spots and obviously do the scouting report on what they think they're going to see from Barcelona and then just get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, emphasize the simplicity, I think. What about his wardrobe? Do you think that will be a distraction?
Sometimes. I hope he keeps it like down the middle. I don't know why he always dresses like he's going out to a club sometime on the sideline, you know? There's different ways to make it all about you, and I don't know if dressing up on the sideline is the way to do it.
All right, let's keep moving here, and we're going to do a Premier League focus here, everybody. Jimmy Conrad and yours truly. So we'll focus first with Manchester United against Young Boys. That's your early kickoff on Tuesday, 12:45 Eastern on Paramount+. Plus. Cristiano Ronaldo is set to equal Iker Casillas' all-time appearance record. That's 177. And by the way, Ronaldo has also been the top goal scorer in 7 Champions League campaigns. Pretty remarkable. Jimmy Conrad, an easy one for Manchester United? What do you think?
Is anything easy with Manchester United these days?
Probably not.
I don't know. Under Ole Gunnar, I don't know. It's hard to say, but everything's looking roses currently with Cristiano Ronaldo having a great debut on the weekend. What I'll say here is a reminder for everybody about the group stages last year in the Champions League. They beat PSG in Paris in the first game, 2-1. They came home and decimated RB Leipzig 5-0 at Old Trafford. And then they went down to Turkey, down to Istanbul to play Istanbul Başakşehir here. And everybody's like, ah, it's going to be a cakewalk. These guys are absolute trash. And they lost 2-1 because of some naive tactics, I thought, in some ways, where he put a lot of the same types of players on the field, especially in the middle, and they got overrun.
The Demba counter, Jimmy.
You did it. The Demba Ba getting a breakaway from midfield just absolutely triggers me to it. How is that even possible when Demba Ba is, I'm probably faster than Demba Ba at this point. So I still can't get over that and just how bad that was. And that you could just see Matic, who clearly was like running in sand trying to catch him. So my fear is that sometimes they play to the level of their competition, or sometimes they maybe don't take it as serious. They actually think that because they were cruising so much and they played Başakşehir on match day 3, they thought they already had it in the bag. Playing the quote-unquote easiest team in their group, first, I think, is probably more trouble for Young Boys than it is for United, especially when you've now added Cristiano Ronaldo to the group, who is, in my humble opinion, the greatest to ever do it in this competition. And he's going to want to do something special. The guy just loves the big moment, as we've talked about, and he always rises to the occasion. What I find interesting, I don't think we're going to see too many changes in the lineup for Manchester United, except maybe in that holding midfield spot. And Fred is available. I kind of want to see how Fred does by himself off the shoulder of Paul Pogba, kind of manning that area out of the double pivot by himself in front of that back four. They had Matic against Newcastle, and that was okay because Newcastle couldn't really punish them, though. However, they did on the one counter. Matic was nowhere to be seen. He was a ghost trying to catch Miguel Almirón on that one play that led to the goal. So I want to see Fred there because I don't think Fred gets turned as easy. I think he can stop those counterattacks a little bit easier. Young boys do have some talent, which includes Jordan Pefuk, who plays for the U.S. men's national team. So that'll be good to see there. They also have an American manager in David Wagner, which I want to see how he does, because for everybody that doesn't know, David Wagner is best friends with Jurgen Klopp. And Jurgen Klopp just happens to manage one of rivals of Manchester United, obviously, Liverpool. So I feel like he's got some secrets there that he might have to try to contain these guys. That said, I think that this is probably going to be one-way traffic. The real big issue here is whether, Luis and everybody listening, do you think that young boys can score? And that, I think, will kind of impact how you want to bet this. Now, in United's last seven Champions League games, there have been over 2.5 goals. And the same for young boys in their last three Champions League games. So I'm feeling over 2.5 goals is probably the way to go. So if you have United winning over 2.5 goals, it's -110. Not as fun, right? It's pretty much even money at the bet, 110 to win 100. That said, I feel like, just so everybody knows, in terms of current form, we already know what happened with Man United getting 4. But young boys are coming off beating the league leaders, FC Zurich in Switzerland 4-0 as well. So they're going to have a little bit of firepower there. I will also mention that United gave up 10 goals in their 6 Champions League appearances in the group stages last year. And they only had one clean sheet, and that was 5-0, that 5-0 win over RB Leipzig. So United to win, both teams to score is +180. United to win with a clean sheet is +135. I think one of those two things is going to happen, but I'll leave it to you, our dear listeners, to decide what you think. If young boys have it in them to make it, I think that they do, and we've already sensed some vulnerabilities with United, especially when they commit another midfielder to go forward. Paul Pogba's got 7 assists in his first 4 games or something. It's like a Premier League record. So he's obviously looking forward. Can young boys counter? I don't know. That's the big question.
Well, if Newcastle United can score a cracking counter-attacking goal against Manchester United, I'm sure young boys can do it. By the way, Man U have lost their first match in just one of their last 21 Champions League campaigns. All right, let's keep this moving. It's our Premier League focus. Manchester United, young boys was first. Let's go with Chelsea. You're wearing Chelsea. Let's talk Chelsea against Zenit, St. Petersburg, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus. Talk to me, Jimmy.
This is so one-sided to Chelsea. It's not even funny. I was like digging through Caesar's Sportsbook going like, where am I even going to find some positive value for everybody? For Chelsea to win to nil, just to give you an example, is -160. For them to win in over 2.5 goals, -145. Now, the bet last year with Chelsea under Thomas Tuchel was Chelsea to win in under 2.5 goals. I gave you the 1-0 and the 2-0, and it hit a lot. That pays 2-1 this particular game. But with the addition of Romelu Lukaku, you're like, God, that bet's out the window because that guy actually going to finish chances. Bring me Timo Werner back because I want to hit this bet more often. Chelsea to win in under 2.5 goals. So Lukaku kind of throws it off for me. I'll say my favorite bet in a positive value is Romelu Lukaku to score first, +200. He's done it a few times so far this season, and he's an absolute beast. And I just think he wants to continue to play well and show why he's back and why he can be a tremendous player for the Blues.
Yeah, I don't think much more to say in this one. Chelsea are unbeaten in their last 11 group stage games in the UEFA Champions League. 7 wins, 4 draws. All right, finally, part of our Premier League focus, Liverpool against AC Milan. Before we discuss this game, our friend Lucho Garcia sat down with us to discuss that magical evening in Istanbul and, of course, discuss much more. Check it out. Just seeing AC Milan in this group, just give you those memories back from Istanbul?
Yeah, of course, straight away. And I thought about the final, when is going to be the final again? And I saw the AC Milan getting into the group stage, and I thought, oh my God, do you remember that one? Do you remember this and that? I was talking with a friend. And of course, it's a special game for all the Liverpool supporters, AC Milan supporters, of course, and for the players who were involved in 2005 and 2007. And of course, I'm going to be one of those lucky ones who I can travel. I'll watch it live. So I'm going to be there at Anfield on Wednesday, enjoying that game. And, well, I can't wait.
That was Lucho Garcia, which, by the way, you can watch him, myself, Jimmy Conrad, and Champions League as well. Coverage, HQ, Paramount Plus, etc. Jimmy, Liverpool, AC Milan, a tasty, tasty fixture. Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus. Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, two of the most successful clubs in Champions League history. The last two times they played against each other was that 2005 final, which Liverpool came back and had that miracle comeback in Istanbul. And then in 2007, where Milan got their revenge, winning 2-1, Pipo Inzaghi got a brace in that one. What I'm really excited about, though, is that Zlatan Ibrahimovic is healthy. He just scored on the weekends, and he could be going up against Virgil van Dijk. Inject that straight into my veins. Actually, let's say this. We said this, I don't know how many times, with van Dijk, because he had a match against Chelsea. Then he had to go on international duty and play against Erling Haaland. And now he's got Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I can't get enough of Virgil van Dijk getting all these top forwards to go up against. And he's doing pretty well, things considered, even though some of these players are still scoring a few goals. Zlatan to score anytime is plus 180 if you're feeling that. If Giroud is going to be returning, he should be healthy and able to play this. His return back to England. Him to score anytime, you think he's going to score something cheeky, plus 250. Now, what I liked in terms of crazy value, Zlatan to score a header is plus 800. Giroud to do the same is plus 900. So that's something to look at. I was looking at Sadio Mane. He's had a bucket load of chances this season. Hasn't hit the back of the net on all of them, but he always finds himself in good spots. Him to score anytime is plus 138. Now, given what I've seen from Milan so far, and Liverpool, both of their schedules have been, I'll say, relatively easy, because they Liverpool played Chelsea and that was 1-1, and Milan just came off a Lazio big win over Lazio 2-0. When Milan went to Old Trafford last season to take on Man United in the Europa League, I thought they were excellent and they were unlucky to come away with a 1-1 draw. I wonder if they take something from that. Franck Kessié in particular was sick in that game, and I know he just missed the penalty on the weekend, but that guy can play. And I just feel like this is going to be a bit of a tougher challenge than maybe Liverpool's faced outside of the Chelsea game. And I like the draw on this one, everybody. Plus 340 is just really, really good value. Liverpool are the favorites. And if you wanted to throw Liverpool in a parlay or whatever it may be, but there's just something about these two teams and their history together and how close this one's going to be. That said, if you're a Reds fan, Liverpool to win and both teams to score is plus 200. Which I could see happening at 2-1 potentially, or Liverpool to win with a clean sheet plus 165. I feel like, given the firepower that Milan have at their disposal with Brahim Diaz and Rafael Leao, who scored on the weekend, and Zlatan and Giroud and everybody else they have coming through, bombing from distance, Sandro Tonali can take good free kicks. You know, I just feel like I like the draw ultimately. I think the draw is the best value, but if you're a Liverpool fan all the way through, then I understand you should look at some of the other ones. But Liverpool to win, both teams score plus 200. Liverpool to win with a clean sheet plus 165. I would look at those two.
I love it. And by the way, the only two times they've met have been in finals. So you
That's
know,
crazy.
Finals, there's
crazy.
Always so much pressure. By the way, I want to make sure that I direct you as well to our YouTube video where Jimmy and I do some predictions and we do a lot of fun stuff there at Champions League. Zlatan, by the way, when he was talking about Messi and Ronaldo, he said, if we're talking about intrinsic quality, then they have nothing more than me. If we're interested in trophies, then yes, I didn't win the Champions League. That's what Zlatan said. Thank you. Well, so Zlatan's feeling it. I feel that maybe he has a point to prove here, Jimmy Conrad, especially against, as you mentioned, a Premier League side that's feeling confident. Fishtail, ponytail Zlatan as well.
Yeah, there's something about him. He does have that confidence, that swagger that's hard to just manufacture from nothing. I mean, but he does somehow. Even if things aren't going well, he still stands up strong. You know, he's shoulders back. I'm Zlatan. I'm going to show you what I'm about. And what's incredible about him is that he's carried this chip on his shoulder for so long. At some point, when you accomplish as much as he's accomplished, you think, all right, I've got nothing left to prove. But this guy still is just... It's so deep inside of him that I marvel at it. And in some ways I admire it, but I wonder if it's going to eat at him, you know, especially when he retires. Like, how is he going to fill that void? Different conversation about Zlatan. But I still feel like because he has that chip, it gives him that drive to continue to want to prove people wrong. And that's a great thing for Milan. He just needs to stay healthy, in my humble opinion. If Zlatan can stay healthy, they can make a deep run and be competing for multiple titles. But this will be a good challenge for them. They're probably feeling a little bummed out they have to play Liverpool first at Anfield. But maybe not. Maybe they get that game out of the way and then they can manage the next five after that. But Zlatan, you can't sleep on him, ever.
All right, and wrapping things up here, Premier League focus, Champions League. Jimmy Conrad, Manchester City against RB Leipzig, Jesse Marsch, RB Leipzig, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus. Betting tips, and also, are you worried about Jesse Marsch and RB Leipzig against Man City?
I am a little bit worried for him, and I think it's unfortunate, the scheduling. Obviously, you got Bayern on the weekend at home. You lose 4-1, and then your reward for that game is, hey, by the way, you get to travel to Manchester to take on City in the Champions League a few days later. And the big challenge, I think, for him as a manager, especially with a new group, is what is he saying in those days in between? What is he doing to maintain good confidence and good focus and not getting distracted from any of the stuff? Or because you don't want to lose the group here. Because if you're saying things that aren't working and all of a sudden you go into that City game, you get your ass thumped again, then you're going to start to lose some of the group. They might not say it. They might be just thinking it. And when that starts to happen, that's not good. So these are two teams heading in different directions. I do want to say that after City lost to Tottenham to start the league, they gave up zero shots against Norwich. They gave up zero shots against Arsenal when they and they lost to Leicester too in the Community Shield. And then when they just played against Leicester this past weekend, they gave up one shot. So they're locking it down on the defensive side of the ball. The two losses they had to start the season, the Community Shield and against Tottenham, they had Nathan Ake and Benjamin Mendy both starting. Since then, it's been Laporte and Cancelo, and I don't think that's going to change. Maybe in this game, Zinchenko and Stones comes in just to kind of mix it up and give those guys a rest or whatever it may be. But Ake's not the guy for Man City moving forward, and obviously Mendy, for obvious reasons, should probably never play for Man City again. Well, I mean, he's got to go through his thing, so I don't want to do any prejudgment there, but it's not looking good for that guy. And that, for me, is the telltale sign. And I think Leipzig could potentially score here, but I think Man City are going to win. Even without a number nine, they're so dangerous. So City to win, both teams to score, plus 188. City to win with a clean sheet, plus 113. You pick your poison.
Yeah, pick your poison. Is there, what do you think about, just very quickly here, because I'm looking at Group A, which is this group in particular, and my goodness, Club Brugge ain't no joke as well. I mean, they're a very talented side. Yeah. PSG, of course. RB Leipzig, realistic for them to come third here? What do you think?
I think match day two is going to be really interesting. Obviously, how they perform in this one, but we expect PSG to beat Club Brugge. The next match day is PSG hosting Man City. And I find that one to be a place where potentially RB Leipzig could take advantage, because RB Leipzig is hosting Club Brugge.
Yeah.
And if they can just create some type of breathing room to give them a chance. Now, we had Jesse Marsch with RB Salzburg last year in until the last match day against Atletico Madrid. Had they beat Atleti at home, they would have gone through to the knockout rounds. That's how close they were in a group with Bayern and Atletico. So he's been in this position before. We could argue he's got better players and more talent at his disposal. And Dominik Szoboszlai was pivotal, not necessarily that season, but the season before for RB Salzburg. He's got some players that are match winners and can make a difference. It's a third is probably the most likely spot, because PSG, as we know, are a super team. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough. I feel a little bad for Jesse Marsch, and I do think he's on the hot seat. And if this doesn't go well, and there start to be some confidence, and he might be getting undermined somewhere else, you know, I don't know. It's tough. I hope they stick with him, but this is a rocky road to start.
Yeah, can I tell you something? They're gonna get something out of this Man City game. I'm telling you this right now.
Wow.
I'm telling you this right now. Save this clip. They're going to get something out of his mind. Jesse Marsch needs something. His team knows it. It's right here, right now. By the way, this is the first meeting between Man City and RB Leipzig. It should be intriguing from a blank slate perspective. We're going to take a break. Jimmy, you wanted to add something?
Plus 460 for the draw, if that's what you think.
I'm telling you, if you want to gamble, gamble, right? You
know, don't put your gambling, right?
Don't put your house on it, but you know, put a little something on it. You never know. You never know. We're gonna take a quick break. Jimmy Conrad killed it there with the betting tips and analysis. He's sticking around because we've got plenty more games. But guess what? Jonathan Johnson will join in the show to discuss PSG as well and the other games in the Champions League. Diego Lasso will be right back.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back, everybody, to Que Golazo, our Champions League preview. Jimmy Conrad, of course, and it's a great pleasure to once again, I feel like it's been a while, Jonathan Johnson in the house. JJ, how are you, my friend?
Hey there, guys. Doing very, very well. Thanks. And yourselves? Good to be back with you, as always. Looking beautiful.
Every time you say "and yourselves," I want to just say, I'm so happy you're here, JJ. That's why you have to wait till I say, I'm so happy you're here, Jonathan Johnson. It's beautiful to see your face.
That's what a couple of weeks out the loop does to you. Blame it on the international break.
Absolutely. But JJ, good to have you. Hey, everybody. We're not going to go through every single game, so we want to just highlight the two remaining really good fixtures to watch out for. And of course, because JJ is here, Bruges against Paris Saint-Germain, PSG, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus, CBS Sports. Before we get into Jimmy's betting tips, Jonathan Johnson, talk to me about PSG as of late. A good win this past weekend. They didn't need all their superstars. And now the quest begins for Mauricio Pochettino and the Champions League. How do you see them? What's going on?
Yeah, so obviously the big question coming into this one is whether or not we're going to see Lionel Messi, Kylian Mbappe and Neymar on the pitch at the same time. It's sounding pretty good right now. So let's be grateful for that. That's going to be, you know, something definitely worth keeping an eye on in this game. Bruges away as well. It was a funny one last time I was there a couple of years ago. Let's not forget, this isn't the first time they've come up against each other in the group stage. It was famous for being that match where Kylian Mbappe came off the bench, still scored a hat-trick, and PSG sort of made their way out of the group stages and then eventually took on Dortmund. And then we know what happened with the rest of the season with COVID impacting, and then PSG managed to make it to the final once they got to Portugal. So, you know, this one it's a favorable opening fixture, I think, for PSG. You know, you've got, they're coming off the back of the Clermont match where they won fairly easily, managed to keep pretty much all of the key guys, out of the squad and out of harm's way, having come back from, international qualifiers all over the world, namely South America, where they were playing sort of in the early hours of Friday morning in French time, with the game against Clermont happening on the Saturday afternoon. So it's coming into this one, I think that it's a for PSG, they need to get a fast start to this, because then they've got City at home, which obviously is a crunch match if they want to finish top, and RB Leipzig then at home as well. They really need to capitalize on those two. And you're looking at that as PSG, I think they'll be hoping for at least 7 points out of the 9, so obviously no slip-ups against Bruges. And they know what this atmosphere at the stadium is like. It can be very intimate. The atmosphere can get on top of you quite quickly. As you mentioned earlier, Bruges, they're a talented side. They've got some very, good players on the roster, as always. Wesley obviously has a special place in our hearts as Villa fans. But I think PSG will be looking at this with all due respect to Club Bruges and thinking, 3 points on the board, early doors, go into the City game, and that's when business really gets underway.
Yeah, well, I expect nothing less here, Jimmy Conrad. So talk to me about those betting tips. What do you expect?
Yeah, it's a good question. And again, I'll throw it to JJ first, and then obviously the listeners have to take it into consideration when they see the starting lineups. The over 3.5 goals is +115. And given how well they did last time they played a couple years ago in Bruges and won 5-0, I think it's a pretty good bet. It's just a matter of whether we think PSG are going to give up a goal. They have shown some tendencies, kind of Bayern Munich-esque. We're like, our offense is so good, who cares if we give up one? It's not that big of a deal. So that's an interesting take on this PSG team. We still haven't seen that full throttle yet with all their top players. So it's really hard to know if Bruges is even going to get a sniff in this one. What I found interesting about their game against Clermont Foot this past week was that they were almost even in possession. And also that Ander Herrera and Idrissa Gueye were the ones scoring the goals. Like, what are their holding midfielders doing scoring goals? Which makes me even more nervous for Club Bruges when their top guys aren't even the ones hitting the back of the net. this could be a bloodbath, I think, in a lot of different ways, to JJ's point. I think goal difference could come into play here based on who's going to get first in the group. And obviously, you want to have a better seed getting first in this group, so you have somebody theoretically a little bit easier in the round of 16. So I'm looking at the over 3.5 plus 115. If you think that they're going to get a clean sheet, then for PSG to win and get a clean sheet, it is minus 105. So basically even money. So bet 105 to win 100. And then if you think that Bruges can score, it's and PSG to win is plus 175. So PSG to win, both teams to score, plus 175 is kind of what I'm looking at. If you think the Messi's going to play, I'll go there really quick. There's not really that much fun. Messi score anytime is minus 154. Mbappe is minus 137 to score anytime. Neymar minus 110. But the value is if Messi will score first, that's plus 250. Kylian Mbappe to score first, plus 275. Neymar to score first, plus 333. So pick your horse and have some fun.
What about all three of them together?
they gave that to me before in a bet, and all three of them to score against, I forgot who it was plus 400. They're not giving me those odds, but I would wait until, if you're really going to go on Caesar Sportsbook or wherever you're looking, just wait for those kind of odds boosts, because they do pop up at times, those exotic bets. So I would look for it once the lineup drops.
Yeah, I was going to ask that one as well. And Jimmy, I think you were interested in an interview that JJ just did recently.
Yeah, God, you talked to Jeannie Wijnaldum, and I'm curious as to, you know, I heard he's one of our biggest fans of the K Golasso pod. So what else did he say?
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. You know, was lucky enough to have a chat with him before PSG's Champions League campaign gets underway. So everyone's got all of that to look forward to coming up, hopefully a little bit before the Bruges match, and then some more before Manchester City. But great, great guy. Speaks very highly of you. And, you know, he's definitely excited about this new chapter that's starting for him with PSG.
I love it. I love it. Well, we love Gini Wijnaldum. Let's see what he does in the Champions League with his new team. All right. The final game to really highlight here is a big one. Inter Milan against Real Madrid. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, Paramount Plus, CBS Sports. Carlo Ancelotti is third in the list of all-time Champions League managerial appearances, 166 behind Sir Alex Ferguson and the two-year World Cup, Arsene Wenger. We won't get into that one. But this is a big one. It's a very big one. Real Madrid making their 25th successive appearance, most ever in the Champions League. Jimmy, let's go straight away with those betting tips.
Yeah, with regard to this game, it's kind of a coin flip. Obviously, these two teams played in the group stages last time around, and they're kind of coming in somewhat similar in the first half where this past weekend where they were down or they were giving up leads or whatever, facing some adversity. Then and Sampdoria got the 2-2 draw with Inter, and then Real Madrid went on and smashed Celta Vigo 5-2, scoring four goals in the second half. Karim Benzema is an absolute beast, by the way. So with regard to this one, I kind of like the draw. I think that Simone Inzaghi in his first foray into the Champions League with Inter, even though they're at home, I feel like this is going to be a real test for them in a way that they haven't been tested. That said, I do want to throw out there that there's no Toni Kroos, no Gareth Bale, no Marcelo, not that that matters so much, no David Alaba, most likely. So there are a couple pieces that they're missing. Now, Valverde will probably step in. Vinicius Jr. is taking big steps. So just some things to take into consideration. And the draw right now is plus 250. It's a bit of a coin flip, plus 145 for Inter to win straight up and plus 180 for Madrid to win straight up. The over is minus 130. The under is plus 100. I honestly could see a 1-1 here and everybody being like, all right, let's just move on to match day two, you know? So these two teams are I think, the two favorites to get out of this group. And with all due respect to the other competitors happening here, it's just a matter of where I think you can get some goals. Karim Benzema to score anytime is plus 110. Him to score first is plus 350. But I really like the draw on this one. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but if you have any particular angles, I can look it up for you real quick.
Yeah, the thing that I feel with this is it's just so difficult to judge Inter at this moment in time, because I expected them to struggle at the beginning of the season. And then I looked at their first couple of performances in Serie A and I thought, well, you know what? It's not so bad. You know, they've actually moved quite well in the transfer market and they're looking decent on the pitch. And then obviously they've had their first setback this weekend in Serie A, just coming into this one. Real Madrid as well, you know, another team in transition. You know, the fans are going to be boosted, you know, by the fact that Tebas is now almost kind of like alluding to a promise that Mbappe and Haaland will play for Real Madrid as of next season. So there'll be a feeling of sort of, you know, we'll try and make the best of this season before the big guns come in and join us. You know, we'll see how that one actually pans out. But I think you're right. You know, there's enough sort of absences on the Real side, you know, to say that they're depleted and, you know, coming into up against a much changed Inter from the one that they faced last season. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see the draw either, to be perfectly honest. But for me, I'm really keen now to see, you know, sort of what this Inter side is made of, considering the changes that were made over the summer.
Yeah, Inter Milan's last victory against the Spanish side, by the way, in the Champions League was back in 2010 when they beat Barcelona 3-1 at the San Siro. They've lost the last four of the five against Real Madrid. So should be intriguing here. And again, of course, as Jimmy mentioned as well, you know, another repeat because of this is what happened last season. All right, so finally, just very quickly, what's your final score, Jimmy Conrad, on this one? What are you sticking with the draw? I feel a high-scoring draw, though. 2-all?
Yeah, I might go 2-all on this one, and I say that because Los Blancos, Real Madrid, beat Inter home and away last season in the group stages, so they have a little bit of that familiarity with, hey, we're familiar with beating these guys in their home field at San Siro. And also, this particular season, I feel like Madrid have been superb in the final third. They've scored 13 goals in their four matches in La Liga. So I just feel like there's going to be some goals in this one. And as we saw this past weekend, you can get at Inter's defense. Bastoni's not available either, their young center back. So that's going to be DeMarco comes in for him. And he scored a fantastic free kick against Sampdoria. But I don't know if he's the same type of defender as Bastoni. So I think there's some spaces that Real Madrid can exploit. Eden Hazard should get the start. So we'll see if he can kind of step up his game in this Champions League campaign. So there's a lot of questions to JJ's point from both teams. And now we just want to see some answers. And I think it's going to be a good game. So I'll move it from a 1-1 to a 2-2.
To a 2-2, make it more exciting. Jonathan Johnson, we want to just quickly, a quick note on Lille. What is going on with Lille, the defending champions of Liga?
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm pretty fearful for Lille coming into the Champions League. I mean, let's be honest, it's not the worst possible draw that they could have gotten in the group. I mean, Sevilla, you know, no disrespect to them. Obviously, we know that they're a proven force on the continental stage, but also at the same time, not quite among, you know, the big guns either. Wolfsburg as well started the Bundesliga season extremely well. And I'm pretty fearful for this Lille side. They're not starting the season very well in Ligue 1. I was very skeptical about Gorvenek as the coach. I feel like I'm being proved right so far. Mm-hmm. But it's always difficult when you take over you know, a team that's won a league title unexpectedly, you know, made the changes that they have. I just don't think that it bodes too well, especially when you've got the president Letton basically admitting that players like Renato Sanchez would have moved on this summer had he not picked up an injury, you know, just a little while before the transfer window closed. So not feeling particularly bright about Lille's prospects at this moment in time. Hope to be proved wrong, of course, you know, but it would be another massive blow for French football and the coefficient if they were to suffer in this group.
Burak Yılmaz, by the way, 10 Champions League goals. That man, just we all love him over here, of course. All right, before we're close to finishing up, everybody, but I wanted to just focus Jimmy and, of course, Jonathan chiming in on the Americans to watch in the Champions League. Brendan Aaronson, as Salzburg face Sevilla. Weston McKennie, we'll see if he gets the start against Malmo as well. Jordan Payford, Young Boys against Manchester United. Owen Otazoi, Bruges against PSG. Pulisic, will he be fit enough? Chelsea against Zenit. Zach Steffen, Tyler Adams in the Man City, Leipzig. Brooks and Weah, Lille against Wolfsburg, as of course JJ was talking about. Serginho Dest and Chris Richards, Barca against Bayern. And Gio Reyna, as Dortmund face Besiktas. Any highlights there from both of you? Let's begin with you, Jimmy, from those Americans featuring this week.
Yeah, I think that it seems maybe Gio Reyna, maybe not, actually. Maybe Weston McKennie is probably our best chance to get some valuable minutes. I mean, ultimately, it's great to say on paper we have 12 players, 12 Americans playing in the Champions League, but they have to get minutes for it to actually provide value, in my humble opinion, for the U.S. men's national team. I mean, that's the whole romanticism about leaving MLS to go over to Europe. Like, that's great, but if you're not actually playing in these games, then it's all theory and not, you know, being used in practice. So, yeah, we need these guys to play. And we saw a lot of them play last season, and they were valuable contributors to their team, but that has to continue. And right now, I think there's a lot of question marks around a lot of these players, mainly due to injury or some behavioral issues as it pertains to Weston McKennie. He didn't look all that great against Napoli this past weekend for Juve, so hopefully he'll get another run out and can continue to build off of where he is at the moment and continue to just focus on being good on the field.
JJ?
Yeah, so for me, I'm definitely keeping my eye on that clash, potential clash between Brooks and Weah. Obviously, not being the brightest of starts to the season for Weah, but you know, Brooks and Wolfsburg going good guns at the moment. And yeah, I totally agree with Jimmy. You know, I think that it's important for these guys to be, you know, playing places where they can actually be getting minutes, and obviously never helps when you've got stuff like the McKennie speculation going on, him being sent home by the US men's national team. We've seen it happen as well with Juve. So, you know, obviously that wasn't particularly positive reading, but, you know, fingers crossed that some of these guys can get minutes. I think as well, you know, also in Group A, looking at the potential battle between, you know, maybe a Zach Steffen and Adams as well of Leipzig. Don't particularly expect Steffen to be playing. I think it could have worked out quite nicely for him, the whole Brazil against the Premier League thing for the international break. Obviously, Edison came back in time, but you now have a very, very important match for Leipzig, and it could be that Jesse Marsh really needs somebody like his compatriot Adams to step up and really help him get a result, which I'm not sure I share Luis Miguel's optimism for him going into that game.
I'm just trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nice to the country that hosts me. Hey, listen, a very quick question. You answer to me. Who make out of those players, who's going to make the biggest impact in this campaign, not just this week, I guess, Jimmy?
I actually think it's going to be Brendan Aaronson. I think he actually has the most to gain because RB Salzburg does have somewhat of a manageable group. And if they just put a couple good games together, they could get second and move on to the knockout rounds. For me, Brendan Aaronson also shown his potential over the qualifying window that we can rely on him, that he can show up either as a starter or as a super sub. And if he continues to do what he's doing and progress the way that he is, if Pulisic and Gio Reyna start to lose minutes, we could start leaning on Brendan Aaronson to be our guy. And so I think it's a big opportunity for him to continue to showcase why he's as special as he is and why he probably won't be at RB Salzburg for too much longer. So him, Jonathan Brooks on the other side, like didn't play particularly well in the window. It's a good time to kind of right the ship in some ways and get back to being super consistent and getting back into our lineup here with the US. But I think Brendan Aaronson has the most to gain.
What do you think, JJ?
Definitely agree. I've been very impressed with him so far. And fingers crossed he can sort of walk a similar path to Szoboszlai, who enjoyed great success in Salzburg and now finds himself in Leipzig. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, if Aaronson is sort of the next player, to cross that supply of talent line.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, listen, you can't have a Peruvian host without talking about the fact that for the first time in 7 years, we have two Peruvians in the Champions League, Sergio Peña for Malmo and Gustavo Dulanto for Sheriff as well, Sheriff Tiraspol. That's amazing. I mean, the last time was in 2014 when André Carrillo was playing for Sporting Lisbon and Claudio Pizarro was playing for Bayern Munich as well. It's a big thing. Two Peruvians back. Sergio Peña won't feature this week. He's injured, but Gustavo Dulanto, who's an absolute character, hopefully will feature as well. So, Peruano, stand up. So happy that finally we got some Peruvian flavor in the Heze. Hey, listen, final thoughts then. As the Champions League gets ready to kick off the preview, I'm so excited. Let's begin with you, Jonathan Johnson. Give me your final thoughts as we look ahead to the return of the Champions League.
Oh man, so much to look forward to. You know, this is one of the best times of the season where you've got the entirety of the new edition of the Champions League lying ahead of us. And, you know, I'm just so excited to be sharing it with you guys. Great matches straight out the gate. So excited and so psyched for another season together.
Jimmy!
And as for me, what JJ said, let's bring on the Champions League. I'm here for it. As I say, inject it straight into my veins. Let's go. Come on, everybody. Let's do it.
I love it. What a great preview. Thank you to both of Jonathan Johnson, John_LeGossip on Twitter, Jimmy Conrad on Twitter as well, and Instagram. By the way, we're going live on Tuesday and Wednesday after the games to recap the action from match day one of the Champions League season. Make sure that you join us. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It's why we love this and why we want to continue to grow the show. Jonathan Johnson, thank you so much. Jimmy Conrad, thank you so much. Make sure that you follow us everywhere. Have a great, great rest of your week. And the Champions League is back. We will see you next time. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.